Hi, welcome to Sips and Giggles. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, welcome to Sistery Untold. We are your sisters and hosts, Sabrina
and Marva.
And on this podcast, we look at history through the eyes of sisterhood.
Sabrina, that was excellent.
Thank you. I really need a lot of positive encouragement right now. So thank you.
Skinny.
You can't even see me. I'm wearing a baggy shirt and pajama bottom.
Your hair is luscious.
I'm bald. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
You're okay. Welcome.
Okay. Anyways. happy girl. Okay.
That was a very strange song, please. Have none of that, please.
I was trying to tell myself to be happy girl. I made up that song. You're supposed to be encouraging me.
I can tell.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Hi, Marva. How are you?
I'm super fantastic, Sabrina. How are you?
I'm good. I think we're famous now and it's kind of stressful, but hi, everyone.
We're not even anywhere near as famous as it seems like we are, which
that's
is like
true.
This weird thing.
Yeah, it's but... this really weird thing. Like certain people think we are supposed to be famous.
Yeah.
Don't tell those people that we're not really famous.
Let's just roll with it.
We're rolling with it. Anyways, so I'm excited. This is our first like us episode in a minute.
I know. And it's going to be it's going to be very different because there's a lot of different things about it. So we'll see. Maybe this will be like one of those things where people are like, actually bring back the actual historians. We don't want to hear your annoying voices anymore.
I hope not. But fair enough if anyone does that.
Yeah. Like, oh, you like History Lizzie's voice better than ours? Okay. Fair play. But. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. We're going to learn about some Hawaiian mythology today and also real people. Is that what is on the menu?
Well, on the menu is basically I have been trying to do like an episode about Hawaiian history for a long time because ever since like the beginning of lockdown, I was just like, why do I live in like the middle of like a landlocked city? Like, I should be quarantined on the beaches of Hawaii right now. Mm-hmm. And so it has been my new goal ever since then to get super rich and buy a house in Hawaii and then just live there.
Sounds good. And can I come?
You can, sure, if you want to.
Thanks.
But so, yeah, so then I was like, going to do an episode about Hawaiian history, but then I was trying to research it and I was like, I don't really understand anything. And so then I just decided, like, let's go all the way back. Like way, way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 million years.
Oh back. My gosh. Okay. To like the formation of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
So we're gonna talk basically just a little introduction to the history of Hawaii and / like what is Hawaii. A lot of our listeners are not from the USA, which is like exciting, but then also I feel like maybe we have some general understanding of Hawaii that isn't.
No, I don't have any understanding. All I know is that we took them in 1950s, but they didn't actually want to. But in history they were like, oh my gosh, Hawaii got annexed. Yay. And then they found out recently they were like not super about that life.
Well, we won't talk about that. So,
but I'm saying, yeah, I don't know anything before 1950 about Hawaii.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's lots of things before that,
I'm sure.
Anyways.
But so I'm saying if our listeners don't know about Hawaii, they're not like any more ignorant than I am.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that they're ignorant. I'm saying that like, some people, like, I was talking basically the other day to someone, and they said, like, something about the Big Island, and I was like, Hawaii, and they were like, no, England, and I was like, oh,
what?
Yeah, and so that's just the kind of stuff that I mean. So, anyways, here we go. Hawaii, often called the Aloha State or just paradise, is currently one of the 50 states in the United States of America. It's a collection of islands in the Pacific Ocean. Hawaii was formed by a volcano 5 million years ago, and there are 8 islands. Oahu, been there. Kauai, Maui, Molokai, Kahoolawe, Lanai, Hawaii, and Niihau. Hawaii is geographically the most remote place on Earth. And wow. So it's like the furthest away from any like other land mass than anywhere else.
I understand.
I didn't understand it at first. So okay. I just wanted to let any other listeners know who maybe didn't understand what that means, that it's fine to not know what it means.
Okay.
So somebody told me that they were like, oh, I can always hear like the tension between you and Sabrina on the podcast. And I was like, there is no tension. What are you talking about? But now I'm like, oh, shit.
Marv, if you could see my face right now, I feel so tense. Because now I'm like, you're exposing how tense we are. I'm like, we're perfect.
We're so fun. We get along all of the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So Hawaii was first occupied by Polynesian people sometime between 124 AD and 400 AD. And they came from the Marquesas Islands that were more than 2,000 miles away, and they came there by canoe.
Dang, that was an arm workout. Rowing there? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and the Polynesian canoes are like very intense. Like they would bring like animals and like plants and everything with them. Like, because they like attach like two canoes, and then between them have like this like kind of like net thing that had like, it was crazy. Anyways, Polynesians are the people that inhabit the more than 100 islands that make up Polynesia. For the most part of history, they lived isolated from the rest of the world. So when they arrived in Hawaii, they found paradise, and there were no predatory animals, no disease, no mosquitoes, nothing. And the island was geographically so young that it had none of the bad things, but it also didn't have any food. So the people brought everything with them. So they brought plants that we now think of as being native to Hawaii, like bananas,
pineapples,
potatoes.
Oh.
I assume pineapples as well, but bananas, sweet potatoes, taro, and coconut is what was listed.
Taro.
Oh, I know, gosh. That purple potato thing.
I love it.
It is so good. So the very best of the Polynesian families would go on these voyages of discovery, because they knew that they needed to set up a new civilization wherever they went. They would send their strongest and wisest people with the capability and cultural knowledge to do so. There were two classes of people who would come, and they would be the commoners and the high chiefs. The high chiefs were the ruling families, and they shared the islands equally, and this worked out well for them. For 1,000 years, there were no wars, and the people lived in complete harmony and isolation.
Dang, they should write a book. That's really impressive.
Yeah. So it wasn't until sometime between the 11th and 14th century that canoes with hundreds of Tahitians showed up. And the Hawaiian people who were living there became under the control of the Tahitian priest Taho. He introduced a new religion that worshipped the god of war. And he championed the idea of mana, which was the spiritual equivalent of blood, and it represents the life force, and it was a spiritual energy that could be gained from acts of bravery, sacrifice, and war. So mana changed the Hawaiian society rapidly. Chiefs had to fight to gain more mana, and instead of land being divided equally, they fought each other to gain more mana and land. The chiefs would sometimes make weapons from the body parts of their fallen enemies, because that it would show that they had a lot of mana. By the late 1770s, there were several different chiefs that ruled the islands, and they would often rule like multiple islands. And then on January 18th of 1778, Captain Cook, on his two ships, the Resolution and the Discovery, first saw
Hawaii. Get dark.
No, we're just gonna stop there for now.
Okay. Okay.
Because we don't need to know any more than that for this episode.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt the last thing you were saying.
No, that's it. That's all.
Okay.
Eventually, it was like united under one Hawaiian monarch, but we will talk about that hopefully in a later episode when I get to do all my Hawaiian princess episodes.
I just think the concept of mana is so interesting. Like, it seems like really abstract, but then it became like the whole like guiding force for like hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Because like it's like something you can't really actually like quantify it, or like unless you like are holding the dead bones of like people you killed, like how will you know like how much mana someone has, except for by like word of mouth. I don't know. It's just like interesting. Instead of like money or like material goods being like the thing that demonstrate like your worth, it's like mana. That's so interesting. Yeah.
And it's crazy that how much it changed like the culture from being like peaceful for literally 1,000 years to now being like, okay, we have to fight because that's how we prove our worth.
No, that's what's so crazy. That's like, yeah, like something, it's not even like, because I understand kind of like having, I guess it's like how people have wars over like religion and stuff. It's like war over like a totally abstract thing, but it like fundamentally changed the culture. I don't know. Really interesting.
Yeah. So there's one other little piece of history that I just wanted to talk about, which is the history of hula. Hula is a dance traditionally done on Hawaii that is accompanied by chanting or song. Many hula were created to honor or entertain the chiefs or to honor a god or goddess or multiple. Hawaiian history was all oral, and so it was passed down through the hula performances and the chants that went along with it. So I just want to use that as a little clarification before we get started on my stories for this week, because everything being passed down orally is beautiful, and being passed down through dance, I love that, but it does not make for easy research.
So, I'm sure, yeah.
So just keep that in mind as we're going along.
So do the dances, like certain movements, like symbolize certain things?
I don't know. So basically they would have hula dancing was not the same thing that we think of when we think of hula dancing. Like it's not like the ukulele, like little hip movements. Like it was a lot more like intense. Like it could represent like a lot of different things. And then there was like, it was like also like involved a lot of men, and, it was like, yeah, just super different than what we kind of think of. So it's tricky to try and give you like a visual picture. Maybe I'll find some videos and like can post them on the blog or something. But
okay, so people still do practice like traditional hula.
Yeah, so anything that's that was like created after sometime, I think it was like 1850s or something, is considered a different type of hula, and that's like the more like the modern like ukulele type thing that we think of. But traditional hula is basically anything that was created before then. So this episode is also going to be a little different, because in previous episodes we talked about two sisters, and we went back to like, I think the earliest episode was the Matilda and Eleanor episode, which was like 1100s or whatever, and this is way more far back. And we're also going to be talking about a couple different sisters. We're going to be talking about Pele, who is the Hawaiian goddess of fire and volcanoes, and Iiaka, who is the goddess of hula, Kapo, who is the goddess of fertility, and a little bit about Namaka, who is the goddess of the oceans.
So exciting. This is our first mythology episode.
So first, we're going to talk about Pele, because she is kind of like the main goddess. Like, oh, this is something also that is interesting. But so she's the goddess of volcanoes and fire. And so there's a lot of more of like written research that I was able to find about her, because people currently and back in the like day would use the stories of Pele to study the history of the volcano and like what its activity and stuff was. So there's like loads of books and stuff about it. So my Pele story is going to be the longest, but that's just because I could find more information about her. So Pele, for the purposes of our story, was born in Tahiti. She is one of 6 daughters and 7 sons, or 12 daughters, or 40 daughters. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot of like different stories. Like, there's this, like, you know, like there's the main story, but then there's like different versions that I found. And so I'm just going to stick with one main story, but then throw in some like, also, this may have been happened. But
yeah.
So her mother was Haumea, and she is the goddess of the earth. And her father, Kane, maybe. Kane, I'm not sure. He was the creator of the skies. Her youngest sister, Iiaka, who I said was the goddess of hula, was given to Pele as an egg by her father. And Pele hatched her into a little girl, and they became very close. And they were like kind of like sister best friends and everything. It's adorable. So Pele is known for her beauty, but also her temper. In one of Pele's most famous stories, she ended up in a fight with her sister Namaka that resulted in the creation of the Hawaiian Islands. So Namaka was married to a powerful sorcerer, but when her husband first saw Pele, he was besotted with her and endeavored to make Pele his wife. Namaka, the water goddess, was understandably not pleased, and a battle between her and Pele began. Namaka was too powerful for Pele, and although Pele's brother, the god of sharks, joined in with her and other family members to defend her, they were ultimately defeated by Namaka, and Pele was forced to flee. Namaka destroyed all of their homes and then went to the highest point in the land that I'm not going to try and pronounce, but it's called the Raised Days of Heaven, to look out over all of the seas to be able to find Pele wherever she went. In a boat provided by her brother, Pele set out, and she had a magic spade, and wherever they landed, she struck the earth with it, and a giant crater that was filled with volcanic fire would open up, and smoke would fill the skies. My understanding is that the smoke would block Namaka's view of the family, and they were able to escape under cover of the smoke, and they just went further and further away. And Namaka would leave her lookout place to go to where the smoke is, but by the time she got there, the family had already left. Eventually, Pele got to the island of Kauai, and she dug a big pit and put a large hill of dirt, like, nearby, and that today is known as the Hill of Pele. And she thought she would be safe from her sister's wrath, but she was mistaken. Namaka came and found her, and they fought a long physical battle, and Pele was injured badly, and Namaka left her for dead.
Oh my gosh.
Pele, however, was not dead, and once she could, she once again went on the run. The next place she went to was Oahu, and she dug another fire pit, and the lava was so strong that it forced a hill up, and this was named... I tried to look this up, but I could not find how you pronounce this, so I'm just going to give it my best guess. Ke Alia Manu, which means the white bird. The crater was filled with water and called Ke Alia Pa'a Kai, which means the white bed of Salt Lake. Pele was not able to create a permanent home here, though, and she moved on from island to island. And eventually, using her magic spade, she created the volcano Haleakala. Namaka, though, is seeing all of the smoke coming up, and she knows that Pele is still alive. So the two sisters now enter into a battle that they both know is going to be to the death. Once again, Namaka is too powerful for Pele, and after a long battle, Namaka broke Pele's bones into pieces and scattered them all along the sides of the volcano.
It's harsh.
Yeah. Her sister, I know.
I know.
Apparently, her bones can still be seen around the volcano today. And this is just a side note, but like every story that we've done that's been about like actual sisters, they all have at least had rumors of them trying to sleep with their sister's husband.
That's so true.
I find so strange.
Wait, that's really true. Oh my gosh. Why is it always happening?
I don't know. But I'm like, I've never known anybody's sister to ever actually sleep with anybody, like, you know, with their sister.
But I do feel like it's a thing on TV a lot, and I guess it's actually happened.
But I mean, the Skylar sisters, I don't believe that it actually happened. Like, yeah. I don't think that they would have actually done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't think like Claire Claremont and Mary Shelley mm-hmm. necessarily had that. Interesting.
Yeah, something to be noted.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Namaka finally was satisfied with her sister's death, and she returns to her place of watching. The rest of Pele's family, they mourn her death. But before long, Namaka and the rest of the family see the spirit of Pele rise up in the clouds of volcanic smoke. And the smoke is tinged red because of the flames below. And Namaka knew she would never be able to defeat her sister. The rest of Pele's family served their sister and tended to her needs. Pele
served Pele?
Yeah. So they started to like kind of worship her.
Mm.
Pele, being known for her temper, though, was not always easy to please, and she became annoyed with her brothers and sisters, and she would send out floods of lava to destroy their homes, and she would cause earthquakes when she stamped her feet on the floor in anger.
Dang.
And there's another slightly different version of the story that I read that said that the battle between Pele and Namaka like actually formed the islands of Hawaii, because like Pele would be like throwing lava at her, and then Namaka would be throwing water, and they would like hit each other and like form land, and then like they'd be like Namaka would be chasing her, so that's why like they're all kind of scattered out, and so like that's how the islands of Hawaii formed.
Yeah, that's what I thought this was gonna be like. And then it was like she just went there and then
made well, yeah. Different. So it's either that she formed the islands or that she formed the like hills and the volcanoes and the craters on the islands. Mm. So I guess it just depends.
Maybe she did both. She sounds like a busy lady.
Yeah. And yeah. And so in that story, though, then Pele, she ends up hiding out in the volcano, and that's how it becomes her home. So either way, Pele now lives in a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our main Pele story, and we are now going to talk a little bit about Iaka. So like I said, she's the youngest of the sisters, and she has a very close relationship with Pele. Like Pele, Iaka is known for being beautiful, but unlike her sister, she's also known for being kind, patient, and benevolent. She's the goddess of hula and is fond of chanting and dancing and making leis. And
she sounds just like a classic, like the good girl in a movie.
Yeah.
Well, like she's nice. She's pretty. She likes to dance.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. So she likes to be in nature away from the lava fields and is eager to help out mankind. So one day when Pele falls asleep and her spirit wanders away from her body, and this is something that happens. And, like, I thought that this was really interesting, because what I was reading was basically saying that this was how Hawaiian people, like, interpreted dreams. It was that, like, when you went to sleep, like, your soul left your body and went somewhere else. And so that's kind of what this is. But anyway, so her soul, her spirit travels to Kauai and sees a chief on the island who was called Lohiau. And... or probably like Lohi Ao, because there's an apostrophe and it's supposed to like make like a stop. Anyways, so, and he's holding court and he's watching hula dancers perform, and Pele's spirit is immediately captivated, and she takes the form of a human and has an erotic dalliance, not my words, with Lohi Ao for several days. And then when Pele's spirit returns to her body, she wakes up. And she's like really sad because she misses her dream lover. And she asked her sister Iaka to go to the other island to get him and bring him back.
Is this while she's already like a volcano goddess kind of thing? Or she's still, this is before all of that?
This is, I think, after, but then also because basically Pele, although she's a volcano, she can take human form. Like, she can take, I've heard that she can take kind of three different forms. One as like a young woman in a like red dress with like long black hair, another as like an old woman with like long white hair, and the other as a white dog. So she has like different forms that she can take. But so yeah, so she asks Iiyaka to go to the other island and bring her lover back to her. Iiyaka is nervous though to leave because she's worried what will happen to all of the birds and plants that she loves if she's not there to look after them. Mm-hmm. And Pele reassures her that everything will be fine, and she gives her some magical gifts to take on her journey. And she gives her a critical eye to help her see the future, communicate with spirits, and give her supernatural knowledge. She also gives her the strong arm of Kilauea to help her in any battles that she would have to fight. And her third gift was a lightning skirt that could help her in many different ways.
So I like the idea of a lightning skirt.
Yeah. One of the things that I was reading was saying that the lightning skirt was, like, interesting because it's a very, like, feminine thing. And so it's, like, showing, like, the power in, like, femininity.
Yeah. I love it. It seems like something Xena Warrior Princess would have.
Yeah. So Iiyaka set off with one of Pele's servants. Along the way, they met Wahine Oma'o, which means green woman. And Wahine is the Hawaiian word for woman, and Oma'o is the Hawaiian, or Ema'o is the Hawaiian word for green.
Mm.
So it's the three of them, and then they meet up with another princess on the way who wants to be friends with them, but the princess is not devout enough, and she doesn't make enough time for prayers, and so then she dies because she can't
see
the future because the gods don't give her the sight. Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah. So, say your prayers. Iiyaka and her companions, or Lady Squad, as I like to call them, have to fight off the Mo'o, which are shape-shifting reptiles.
Oh my gosh.
So this is a long and arduous journey. And Iiyaka meets every obstacle that gets in her way with strength, and she even kills a chief who would not give them hospitality by smashing his body against rocks while his soul was out wandering. So basically, while he was sleeping, smashed his body against rocks and killed him.
I'm not even mad. Like, be a nice hoe. Like,
but I'm also like, if he was sleeping, did he not offer you hospitality, or was he just asleep? But
don't question it.
Yeah. So this journey, however, took a long time, and basically, in one of the versions I read, they had agreed that Iiyaka would be back within 40 days, and she wasn't back within 40 days, and so Pele got really, you know, she has this temper, so she got really upset, and she was jealous because she was imagining that Iiyaka had, like, run off with her lover, and so...
Oh my gosh. Like sister, I guess.
Yeah. Well, oh, I mean, gosh. If it happened to you one time... Oh no, that wasn't even...
No, it's the opposite. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Good point.
She got it from her... Yeah.
Yeah.
She's projecting.
Yeah. So Pele, her temper flared, and she destroyed some of the birds and the trees that she'd promised Iiyaka that would be safe. She also killed Iiyaka's friend, Hapoe. And so when Iiyaka returns with the lover, she sees what Pele has done, and so then now she's mad. So then she makes love to Pele's lover in front of her.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So then
I thought she was going to kill him. This is worse. Oh my gosh. In front of her.
Well, she knows how to, like, you know, she knows her sister well. She knows what's going to, like, hurt her the most. So.
Also, this guy is kind of a jerk. You just, like, came all the way here to reunite with your lover. Then you're like, oh, I'll just sleep with her sister. Like, have some self-control.
Well, I feel like one of the things also, again, that's, like, an interesting thing is that, like, in this story in particular, and kind of the last story, it's really, like, the women are the ones who are, like, the characters the and the men yeah. are just kind of like, I'll go here. Oh no, I'll go there.
That's true. Yeah. Like,
yeah. So Pele and Iiyaka then fight, and the lover boy is killed by Pele's lava. And Iiyaka is able to revive him, though. And soon Pele regrets her actions and decides to let the lover boy choose who he wants to be with. And so,
who do you think he's going to choose?
Yes, well, so there's three different options of what he chooses. He either chooses Iiyaka, or he chooses both, or he chooses neither and just is like, I'm out of here, and leaves and goes back to his own island. So depending on which story you read, but either way, he does not choose Pele.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I mean, she just literally killed him.
Like, yeah.
That's not a healthy foundation for a relationship. And the only time they actually dated was when she was asleep.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But he was in love with her spirit. And her spirit really was beautiful. In love with him. Okay, so the last sister that we're going to talk about is Kapo. And she is the goddess of fertility and dark powers, which I think is
interesting.
I know, right?
Yeah.
She's also associated with Laka, either as them being two parts of the same person or as Laka being her daughter. They are also sometimes referred to as the goddess of Hula as well, because there's three different kind of origin stories of Hula. So depending on which origin story you follow, it's either Iiyaka or Kapo slash Laka, or another one where it's also Pele. But anyways, you don't need to know all that.
Wait, can I make a comment really quick?
Yeah.
Because, well, honestly, I didn't pay attention to anything you were saying right now, because I was trying to think of what I'm about to say right now. Because I was trying to remember this thing I saw when I was, like, researching, like, hysteria and, like, women's medicine for a long time ago. But that oftentimes, like, midwives would be accused of being witches because of, like, how they're associated with, like, life and death. Because, like, they bring life into the world. But also, like, if a baby was born, like, stillborn, they would sometimes think, like, she made the deal with the devil or something and, like, sold the baby's soul. So
that's
exactly. It's dark. And so
powers.
Yes, dark powers and birth, fertility are not a completely unprecedented combination. That took all my brain cells. Go back, do your thing.
Okay.
Because I was like, I remember seeing something about witch baby. And I was like, what does that have to do with this? Like, yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was very informative.
Okay.
Okay, so Kapo, she was born from obviously the same mother, Haumea, but she is said to have born from her mother's eyes, and so she's a powerful sorceress and is able to change into many different forms. She's known for being knowledgeable about herb medicine and sorcery. And
said herb.
Herb.
You're American.
Herb.
Yeah.
She was known for her herb medicine and sorcery. She was famous for teaching hula, and she's been invoked in sending evil back upon someone. So
okay, like a retaliation curse kind of thing.
Yeah, so she's like in there with the herbs and the potions and the spells and all that kind of good stuff. So, but what she is most famous for is her Kohe Lele, which translates to flying vagina. So.
Okay, explain. Because so, I don't want to laugh at anything, because it's just the, you know, I respect all religions and stuff, but I need to know more.
Yes. So when Kapo's sister, Pele, was being threatened by, I did look this one up.
You've said that a lot.
When Kapo's sister Pele was being threatened by Kemapua'a, who was a god who was half man and half pig, Kapo saved her by taking off her vagina and sending it flying through the air. And as you might expect, Kemapua'a was distracted and left Pele to go follow the flying vagina.
Oh my gosh!
Yes. So it lured him to Oahu, where it landed and left an imprint on the island as a crater. So there is, obviously, craters don't just go away. There's a crater on the island that I assume looks like a vagina, because it was also called, like, something else. It was called something that's, like, the vagina crater. But then when the, like, you know, settler people, Westerners, colonizers, they came, and they were like, this is inappropriate. And so they changed the name.
Well, but I was literally right before you saying that, I was thinking, like, oh, I actually really like that there's, like, no shame around it. Like, that they're just like, oh, this looks like a vagina. Vagina crater. Like, that makes sense. Like, it could be called that. Like, but in our culture, it's, like, so taboo. Like, oh my gosh. Whatever.
Yeah. But so that is, those are the stories of the goddesses that I covered for Hawaiian history. There, I wish I had more information, but there just wasn't a lot of. I could either do like a whole bunch of little stories or try and go as in detail on other stories that I. So that's what I tried to do. But so there's just a couple other notable facts that I wanted to share. Oh no, I already shared them.
Fantastic.
No, okay. Well, there's so one. Notable.
Okay.
There's one that was that if you take a volcanic rock from the volcano in Hawaii, you are said to be cursed by Pele. So don't ever take anything from her.
Good to know. Is that just on Hawaii Island, like the big island?
Yeah. So.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, but I was watching, so basically for research, there's a lot of, like, videos, so if you do want more information, I highly recommend you just go on YouTube, because there's lots of, like, cartoons, and also, like, cool, like, Hawaiian-made videos, and I was watching this one of, like, this girl who's very sweet. She looked about 13, and she was talking about the curse, and she was saying how, she was like, I know it's true, because I went there with my class, and there was this boy, like, let's just call him Kevin, and he took a wrong, and then on the bus, on the way home, the bus broke down, and we all knew that it was because he took from, and I was like, girl, get him. Call him out.
Call him out. Kevin, where are you? Why'd you do that? Wow, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm glad these stories still exist in, like, a really full form, even though they were orally passed down. I mean, obviously, yeah, there's, like, multiple versions of everything, but they all have, like, the same, like, general themes. And I'm just wondering, like, is there, like, a lesson with any of these? Like, morally, I feel like Pele comes out on top, even though she, like, had an affair with her sister's husband and then, like, burned, like, was fighting her with, like, lava. And then, like, now everyone worships her. Which I guess, like, is this, were these? No, these are, like, pre-Mana.
But I think that also it's about not just a moral story, but a fear of Pele, like, because she's the volcano on the island who causes destruction. And so it's not necessarily like, oh, we worship her because she's like a sweet angel. We worship her because we don't want her to get upset and, you know, lava burn our houses down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just such an interesting thing that, like, none of these women are necessarily, like, they're really cool and they're intense and they're forces to be reckoned with, but it's not, like, someone you would, like, tell your kids to emulate necessarily. But I guess it's someone you, like, tell them, like, don't do this or else Pele will do that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's kind of, like, that kind of thing.
It's a different kind of, like, reverence.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, do you tell your child, like, take off your vagina, or you tell them, like, don't take it off, or I don't know. But
I don't think either.
Well, I mean, but I feel like that's that, the only, like, moral story, like, so far. Yeah. But then, well, I'm that, like,
and then, like, I think, like, the skirt, the lightning skirt, those are both, like you said, like, examples of, like, femininity being your power. So I can see that being, like, you know, part of it. Which I know that's one thing you wanted to discuss today, is, like, how do you think, like, these stories and beliefs would, like, influence women in Hawaii, which, like, obviously I have no authority to talk about, so
all I'm going to do is pass the mic to you. No. I didn't necessarily mean, like, women in Hawaii, but just kind of, like, what do you get from hearing these stories, basically? Because again, I also cannot talk about, like, oh, what do women in Hawaii think? Well, let me tell you, as a woman who has been to Hawaii one time.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just, okay. And about women in general, and, like, if you're hearing these stories, do they make you think of, I don't know, what do they make you think of? Like, what would you imagine that it would mean for women in Hawaii? Like, I think to me, it's one thing that's cool is that both mother, like, you know, the mother who's the goddess of, like, earth, and Pele, mm-hmm. who created Hawaii, they're both, like, you know, goddesses, obviously. And so, like, that's a very, like, high kind of position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, so it's not, like, it's a very, you're, there are these female goddesses that are feminine, and they use their beauty and their feminine as some of their strengths, and they mm-hmm. also are the creators of the world. And so I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I think they seem to focus a lot on women as, like, vessels for creation. But in, like, both, like it's kind of embodied in Kapo, like, the, like, dark magic and also fertility. It's, like, mm-hmm. that's how, like, Pele is too. Like, she's, like, using dark forces to create the place where the people who are telling these stories live, and, like, where there is so much life, and, like, it's a paradise, but it's, like, created out of something dark. And I think mm-hmm. that's actually, like, it's kind of, like, macabre, I guess, but it's, like, kind of beautiful in, like, a weird way. Mm-hmm. That's, like, things we think of as, like, being destructive, like, we're creating life.
Yeah.
And, like, even, like, Kapo, like, throwing her vagina and, like, making a crater, that's an act of destruction, but, like, it's also an act of creation, because, like, now that's changed the landscape and, like, created something new, like,
mm-hmm.
so, yeah.
That's very deep, Sprina.
Oh, what can I say? Thanks. I just made it up. Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
I think the Kapo story is, of course, like, it's the best. Because it's also mm-hmm. just, like, it sounds so outrageous. Like, I think to, like, us, because it's so different than, like, you know, normally yeah. it's, like, people don't even, like, say vagina on TV.
I know.
And so, like,
I'm like, are we allowed to say vagina?
like, does this now have to be explicit? But, yeah. like, you know, and, like, it's, like, this major part of, like, their goddesses, like, story. Like, mm-hmm. I can't even really think of any other mythological or non-mythological story that is, like, the hero of the story is a vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think that's, like, strange, but, like, also very cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely interesting. I mean, I can't say, like, what this says about women, really, because it does feel really far away to me. Mm-hmm. Like, because obviously, like, it's, like, supernatural, and it's also, like, many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something I'd like to learn more about, and I think if it's something I had known about as a child, like, I would maybe, like, have a different view of, like, women
mm-hmm.
and, like, what women are capable of, like, mm-hmm. off the bat, you know? Like, now, I mean, I'm like, women can do anything, but, like, if I, like, grew up hearing stories about, like, oh, this man was mean to a woman, so she smashed his body to death, like,
yeah.
I would be like, oh my gosh, like, mm-hmm. and not that that's a good thing, like, I don't think we need to be doing that, but it's like, all we grow up hearing is all these men killing women,
yeah.
because that's what happens worldwide all the time. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't think anyone should kill anyone. Like, I don't think it's a solution. It's for us to smash men to death. But, like, I don't know. It just gives you, like, a different perspective on, like, gender balance.
Just
you,
to, like, the weird, like, turn both. All of a sudden.
I'm just saying, if you see, like, all genders having, like, power
yeah.
in, like, your physical being, mm-hmm. then that gives women back some agency that we don't have in, like, Western culture.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're inherently weaker and going to be destroyed by men all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I did, like, a little bit of research, but then I was, like, trying to just not get carried away. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll do, like, on a future Hawaiian, like, women's episode, like, a little bit more about, like, women's roles and stuff. But mm-hmm. I know that, like, women and men, they definitely had, like, separate roles. They weren't, you know, it wasn't some, like, oh, like, this weird, like, egalitarian society. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they definitely had different roles. And there was like some hierarchy, but you could also have like, they call them high chiefesses. And so you could be like a high chief, but a girl. And
revolutionary.
And even like later on in like the Hawaiian monarchy, you have like, you know, queens being elected, basically. Like, I don't really fully understand like the whole system. I've only like kind of started looking into it. But yeah, it just does seem in a way that, you know, have we ever elected a woman as president? No. And but they would be like electing queens to be their rulers and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there is definitely, or at least was, or maybe still is in like Native Hawaiian culture.
And I mean, and Hawaii is like one of the few states with a like female senator, especially she's an Asian female senator. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like super rare, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks so much, Marva. I definitely learned so much about Hawaiian like mythology, I guess. And I'm really curious. I hope that you do end up doing a Hawaiian princesses episode soon, so we can kind of see like what it does look like to grow up in a society that worships such powerful women.
Mm-hmm. You sounded just like Asia right then. You're like, okay, like the way she does when she talks on the phone.
Oh no, Asia on the phone is so fake.
I know.
We also want to quickly announce our winner for the giveaway that we were talking to you guys about for ages. So the winner is Tessa Payer.
Woo, go Tessa! Woo.
Yeah, thanks for leaving a comment and sharing on social media. Also, just a shout out to Tessa. She happens to be a fellow podcaster. Her podcast, Works Not Cited, can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the good stuff. So definitely check it out. She's an amazing podcast host and historian. So thanks for participating, Tessa. We'll be in touch to get your address, basically. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So also, since we just had our Jane Austen series, we wanted to just take this opportunity to introduce you all to our Patreon. So Patreon is a great way for you to show your support if you are enjoying the show, because it helps us get some money to buy microphones and all that kind of good stuff, so we can eventually stop using our cell phones and have better sound quality, because we hear your complaints. We get it.
We share your complaints, actually.
But so, yeah, we have 5 levels. They range from $1 to $20. And it's just like a monthly subscription. And you can get some cool, like, Sister Untold swag or hand-cut silhouettes and that kind of stuff that are included with your Patreon support. We also we'll give you a login for the sisterhood, so you can see some, you know, extra information that we post and have like conversations with other Patreon members about some of the episodes and stuff like that, so you can get connected with all of the other listeners and the sisters and friends.
Yeah, so as Marva said, this relates a bit to our Jane Austen theme. So the levels are Kitty Bennett, which is $1 a month, Lydia Bennett, which is $2 a month, Mary Bennett for $5 a month, the Lizzie Bennett for $10 a month, and the Jane Bennett for $20 a month. If you are participating at the Lizzie tier, you'll get a bookmark, which we just finished designing. Super excited to launch those. And at the Jane tier, you'll get a custom hand-cut silhouette, just like the ones in our logo.
Ready?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This is Sistery. Everything is awesome. Everything
literally
is cool.
Nothing's awesome, Marva. If I could choke you through this phone, awesome. I would literally. Yeah.
Living on a dream.
Okay. Thank you for listening to this episode of Sistery Untold. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Sistery Untold, or go to our website, sisteryuntold.com. On our website, you can find our blog, which has a little bit of information following up from each episode, as well as a list of all of our sources So if you want to fact check us or just learn a little bit more about all of the cool things we're talking about, you can find that on our blog.
If you've enjoyed this episode, the best way to support us is by rating and reviewing Sistery Untold on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And tell your friends.